I'm glad that I am your friend because I met a friend one day. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing it is to be part of the family of God. And since this is family night, we're glad to see you in the service. I tell you, I've already enjoyed that singing. Now, if you didn't enjoy the singing tonight, there's something wrong. Well, I'm glad there's going to be a meeting in the air. And that's going to be a great time. What a time that's going to be. Aren't you glad you're going to be in the meeting? Lady said to me one night, said, Brother Mays, all right, we have everything on? All right. And lady said to me one night, said, Brother Mays, said, I want to meet you in the air. I said, praise God. We'll all meet in the air. The saved are going to meet in the air. What a blessing that is to know. And we're glad to be here tonight. I enjoyed the choir also. They did a great job, always do. And then I enjoyed Kenneth singing with the quartet. Wasn't that good? I tell you, Dale looked at him kind of funny, but anyway, I enjoyed it. I know that it was a real blessing. The quartet tonight, and you being here on family night. Now, I want you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 4. While you're turning, let me say quickly that tomorrow night is Baptist Women's Night. I want to bring a message tomorrow night on the price of a godly woman. I want you to come. I believe that God will bless you if you'll be here with us. Tomorrow night, the price of a godly woman. Friday night is Brotherhood Night, the night we'll have for men. I'm going to speak on the price of a godly man. I'm going to read to you in a few moments. In one chapter, four times it said, Thou art a holy man of God. I believe that we can know the people of God and the man of God. So it's a blessing. I tell you, Friday night will be a great night. You plan to be with us. Saturday night, I'm going to speak on the price of a godly teenager. Somebody said, Preacher, teenagers can't live for God. The churches that are on fire have some of the finest teenagers you'll ever meet. I thank God for the teenagers here at Winkler's Grove. Sunday morning will be senior citizens. I will have a great time. Sunday afternoon, I'm going to speak to you at 2:30 on Bible prophecy. I want you to bring your Bible. Everybody come for that. I'm going to tell you what we can expect next in the calendar of God's prophecy. So I hope you'll be with us. I believe God will bless your heart. All right, you have your Bible open. Let's everybody stand for the reverencing of the reading of the Word of God. 2 Kings chapter 4. I'm going to begin reading with verse 8 and read down through verse 10 and then read verse 26. So I want you to look at your Bible. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to the Shunammite, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that oft as he passed by, he turned him thither, now notice, to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. Let us set for him a bed, a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall not turn in thither. I want you to look this way for just a moment. I'm going to be speaking tonight on the family circle. This is one of the finest little homes you'll find in the Word of God. And the Scripture said they thought so much of the man of God, they said he's always passing by. Let's make a room just for him. Let's make a prophet's chamber in our home. Let's honor the holy man of God. Now, later on, the Bible said this woman in this text requested that God give her a baby. God gave her a baby. And the Scripture said when he got up, maybe in his teens, he was out in the field and he's working. And the Word of God says that he grabbed his head or cried, Alas! And the boy fell over. And they picked up the lad and said, Take him to his mother. And they brought the little boy to his mother. Later on in the chapter, Elisha The Bible said, raised this little boy from the dead, and the family circle was back together. But I want you to notice when the servant came to the woman, verse 26, this is one of the greatest questions in the Bible. This is one of the greatest questions about a home that you'll ever read. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, it is well with thee. Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. I want you to look this way for just a moment. The Bible said she answered, is it well with thee? And in a moment, I'm going to speak to you on the family circle. And I believe if you'll pray, we'll be glad we came to the house of the Lord tonight. I want you to be seated, beloved. Bow your head for just a word of prayer. Father, how we thank you for every blessing we've already enjoyed. Thank you, Lord, for this revival meeting. Thank you for family night. Now I pray, sweet Spirit of God, that you'll brood over this place. May we feel thy presence. May we see thy glory. I pray tonight if there's one that's lost, that he may come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for that man that may be out of fellowship, that mother that may not be living close to God. And then I pray that you'll bless every family. Lord, give us godly families. Give us families that will serve the Lord. I pray that mothers will realize their responsibilities. Dads will recognize where the dads ought to be in the home. The children may honor father and mother. But Lord, I pray that every home shall be blessed. Bless Brother Kenneth. We thank you for him and for the people that have gathered here in this service. Hallelujah. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Beloved, I want to speak tonight on the family circle. I don't know of anything as beautiful as a Christian home. If you have a Christian home, a circle that believes in God, a home that honors the Lord Jesus, I do not know of anything as beautiful as a praying mother and a godly dad and children that fear the Lord. And when you look at the great picture, the scripture says, it says, except the Lord build the house, they that labor in vain. And when you come to preach about this family circle, let's go back. And the scripture says that there was a godly woman and a godly husband and a little child. The scripture says that the child died and the servant of the Lord came and said, is it well with thee? Let me ask every mother here, is it well with thee? I want you to know the greatest honor that can be bestowed upon a mother is the honor of being a godly mother. And the scripture says, is it well with thy husband? I believe the husband ought to be right with God. Nothing is more blessed than having a praying daddy. And then it says, is it well with the child? And the scripture says, it is well. That mother could answer this great question of household salvation. Can you say that all of your family saved? The scripture said, it is well. But if you've got your pencils tonight, I want you to write down five things in the margin of your Bible. First of all, we have the foundation of the home. When you think of the home, have you built it on righteousness? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. I believe we ought to have the right foundation. I don't care whether your home cost $1 million, or maybe it didn't cost $1,000. It ought to be built on the right foundation. The Bible says the wise man built his house upon the rock, and the foolish man built his house upon the sinking sand. And when the storm came, the little home that was on the sand went down in oblivion. But thank God for that little house that was built upon the rock. He could sing Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Beloved, let me ask you the question. How about the foundation of your home?
Is it built so it'll stand the storms of this world? Is your home the foundation, rock of ages? The Bible plainly teaches us that we ought to build our homes on the righteousness and on faith and upon the things of the Lord. I believe this, that little home that's built upon the rock of ages. Thank God it'll be a happy home. It'll be a holy home. It'll be a home that shall stand whatever shall come upon us. But look at this tonight. In the Bible, the Scripture says that Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. Now he built his house on the sands of Sodom. And if you'll study about Lot, you'll see that his house went down. He lost everything he had. First of all, he lost his finances, all of his life savings. Have you ever seen a home lose everything? Lot lost everything. Everything went down the drain. I remember back when the crash came, and I was a lad. My mother and I stood there in the door. My daddy said, "Honey, we've lost everything." My mother jumped up with tears streaming down her cheeks. And she said, "No, we haven't. As long as we've got God and one another, we haven't lost everything." Isn't that blessing to know that we have the Lord? Secondly, he not only lost his finances, but he lost his family. Beloved, if you lose your family, if you build your home on the wrong foundation, like Lot built his home, I'll tell you, you'll lose your family. And then thirdly, he lost his fellowship with God. I tell you, that home that has a family altar, that home that's a praying home, that home that takes the Bible down, opens it up and reads, I want to tell you, it's built on the right foundation. What a blessing it is to know that the foundation can be right. And when the foundation is right, thank God it'll stand. I was in Pascagoula, Mississippi about 4 weeks ago. And they showed me a home that stood the great tornado and the storm that came in last year. I said to the preacher, "Why did the other homes nearby topple over?" He said, "Preacher, they didn't have the right kind of foundation." Praise God. I'm glad you can build your home on the rock of ages. And when the storm shall come, the foundation is sure and steadfast and unmovable. That'll bless you tonight. Did you know that? I'm glad my home has the right kind of foundation. Number two, that's the faith of the home. What is a home if nobody has faith in that little home? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I tell you, a home that believes God, a home that believes this Bible, a home that's got faith in it, brother, it'll stand. Did you know that? I tell you, it's good to have faith in God, and faith in the Bible, and faith in the church. I tell you, better build your home on the faith that was once delivered to the saints. What a blessing it is to have faith in the home. I'd hate to have a home that had no faith. I'd hate to be in a home that didn't believe God. But that's the faith of the home. But you remember what Paul said to Timothy? He said, "When you was young, you had a mother named Lois, and our grandmother, and a mother named Eunice. And they taught you the Scriptures when you was a child. And they taught you to believe God and have unfringed faith." Praise God for the faith that you can find in the home. I've been in homes that didn't have chandeliers. I've been in homes that didn't have wall-to-wall carpet. I'll tell you, I've been in homes that had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that home was a blessed place to be. Oh, you may have everything, but let me ask you something. Do you have faith in your home? I want you to note there's a woman in the Bible. The Bible said she's a harlot, and her name was Rahab. And one day, two spies came into Jericho. The Scripture said she took those spies and hid them on the flax on the top of her house. And the Scripture said, after the Jerichoites came and couldn't find those men, she came to those men and said, "Now you can leave. I got rid of the enemy. But said, you're coming back, aren't you? Those two spies said to that harlot Rahab, we're coming back in the name of the Lord. She said, tell me about your faith. Tell me about your God. And the scripture said they told her about the God of Israel. And she said, what can I do when you come back and you burn our houses? What can I do when you come back and destroy Jericho? And they said, take this crimson cord, and it'll be a symbol of your faith. Hang it in the window, and thank God when we see the blood, we'll pass over you. Did you know everybody behind that cord was saved? The Bible said her daddy, her mother, her sisters and brothers were saved behind the cord. You know what you need? You need enough faith to believe that God will get your children under the blood, that you can see your children saved. Thank God for faith. How we need it in these days. Oh, the scripture says, and she believed and placed that crimson cord in that window. So first of all, there's the foundation of the home. Secondly, there is the faith of your home. Thirdly, there are foes that would destroy your home. You'd say, preacher, what would destroy my home? Well, there are many things, but let me give you a verse of scripture. Bible says in Psalms 11 and verse 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now let me give you something. Termites destroy the foundation, and they're foes to your home. There are things tonight that would tear your home to pieces, make your children orphans. Listen to me. There are things that are enemies, and the foundations can be destroyed. Foes to the home. I want to mention three. I want you to write them down or remember them. First, there is the unequal yoke. It's a foe to happiness in your home. By that I mean your husband is not a Christian. And when you start the church, he talks about you. Or maybe your wife is not a Christian. The Bible said, how can two walk together except they be agreed? The Bible said, how can darkness and light have fellowship one with another? Brother, I want to tell you something. If you know that your wife is saved and your husband is saved and your children are saved, you ought to get down and kiss the ground. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, the unequal yoke. I have a lot of people come up to me and say, Brother Mays, my husband curses me for going to church. Brother Mays, my wife, she chooses me for going to the house of God. That's a sad picture. That's an enemy to your home. I tell you, it's a foe. It's an unequal yoke. Not only that, but secondly, there's the unhappy home. Brother, happy is the people whose God is the Lord. You want me to tell you something to make you, I want to come home, happiness. If you come home and there's nagging, and there's fussing, and there's criticizing, if you come home and there's not one bit of happiness, let me tell you, you'll hate to come to the house where you live. In fact, it won't be a home, it'll be a house. But if there's that happiness, thank God. Let me tell you something. I believe the happiest spot in your life could be there in your home with your family and enjoy the great blessings of the Lord. Happiness. Oh, you say, preacher, what are the foes? Listen, the unhappy home, and then the unattended house that doesn't go to church. Mister, that home cannot be happy. You take a home that never darkens its door and never comes to the house of God, that home has an enemy, and the foe is the unattended church. Thank God it's blessed to see that dad bring his family to the house of God. You know what's blessed here tonight? I saw families with their families, and they came in here to hear family night. Brother, that's a blessed thing. But there are enemies that would destroy your home and destroy your marriage. And what a sad thing that is. A young girl called me last week, said, preacher, I've been married just 2 months. My husband kicked me out of the house for going to church. I said, what do you mean? She said, after we got married, he forbade me to go to the house of God. She said, I've attended church all of my life, and I just don't understand it. I said, that's right. Oh, it's an awful and a terrible thing, my friend, to be in a home that never attends the house of God. But I want you to notice a fourth thing about the home, and that's the family treasures. Aren't you glad you've got some treasures? Thank God I'm glad I've got some family treasures. Sometimes you keep them maybe in a book. Sometimes you have a hope chest. Sometimes you have a place where you've gathered some family treasures. Bible said in 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 15, I have showed them the treasures of my house. That's what Hezekiah said. He said, I took them in and showed them the treasures of my home. Now you say, preacher, what are some of the treasures? Well, not necessarily your fine furniture. Not necessarily your beautiful home. I want to give you three fine, family treasures. First of all, the Savior is the greatest treasure you can have in your home. Does Jesus live at your house? Does he have a place at your table? Does Jesus, listen to me, have a place? And is he the head of your home? Can you say he's the shepherd that leads the sheep? Thank God for the Savior. I live over in Decatur, Georgia. Years ago, there was a drunk. And on Saturday, his little boy was pulling him down Cherokee Avenue. Brother Kenneth knows where that is. He's been down and preached. But down on Cherokee Avenue, that little boy was crying and saying to his old drunken daddy, Daddy, come on home. Don't drink no more, Daddy. And as he dragged his daddy down and pulled his daddy down Cherokee Avenue, they looked at the Baptist church there, Cherokee Avenue Baptist Church. My little boy said, Daddy, I'd like to go to Sunday school. Daddy, you never take me to Sunday school. And that daddy said, don't talk religion to me. The little boy kept leading his daddy, and he came to the house next to where he lived. And the little boy said, Daddy, you see that house? Jesus lives in that house with that little boy. Daddy, we've never had room for Jesus in our house. That old drunk went in, got in bed, got up the next morning, which was Sunday, awakened that little boy. Gotta take you up to that church today. He went up there, and old Blevins was doing the preaching that morning. When he got through preaching, about what the Bible said about a daddy and a mother and household salvation. And when he said the whole family can be saved, that old ex-drunk of the man that had been drunk the day before turned around and took that wife by the hand, that little boy, and said, we're going to get saved. They went down and got saved, and when they got saved, that man, the daddy, looked over at the boy, and he said, tell that little boy next to where you live and where I live that Jesus is moving in with us today, and Jesus will be in our house. Thank God, I'm so glad. There's a family treasure, and his name is the Savior. Does Jesus live at your house? Secondly, do you have a real... a spiritual love. I mean, is there a love that's deep-seated? I'm not talking about Hollywood love. I'm not talking about TV love, soap opera love. I'm talking about real love that Jesus can place in your heart, one for another in your home. Thank God for the love that Jesus can place in your heart. Wife for husband, husband for wife. Brother, that's nothing compared to that kind of love. Oh, I tell you, I used to hold a meeting in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I'd get up to preach in that big old church. It's the largest Baptist church in Pittsburgh. And I'd get up to preach, and before I'd preach, Herb Walters was a big worker in one of the steel mills. He led the singing there at that great church. And Herb would walk out there and he'd say this, ladies and gentlemen, I want us to stand and I've got to pray. He said, before I leave this singing, I want Jesus to fill me. with a sanctified love. I want to love in my heart like Calvary. Oh, he said, I want to love in my home like Calvary. He said, I want to love in this church. That's like Calvary. So there's a sacrificing of love. There's a sacrificing, my friend, of love in the home also. I'm glad there's a sanctified love. I'm glad, beloved, there's the Savior that can make everything wonderful. I remember when I was going down here to State College, I was at the house, and his times was hard. Brother, it was hard. You've never seen anything like it in your life. Times was hard. I went down to Biltmore, got on the train. My mother and dad stepped up on the train. We were coming to Salisbury. I had to change and go to Raleigh. And I got up on the train. My daddy stepped off, and he heard the man say, all aboard. Mother started crying. The tears ran down her cheeks. And I looked over at Mother, and I said, what's wrong? She said, son, I haven't had a coat in 4 years. But said, your daddy gave me last week on our anniversary $20 to get me a brand new coat with. Mister, that'd be a $200 coat today. And daddy said, Leon, this is your anniversary present. And she looked at me and she said, I don't want a coat. I can wear this same old coat another year. Said, I want you to go to Raleigh. When you get there, buy you a coat. And said, remember, I love you. My mother reached over and put that money in my hand. Brother, when she did that, she kissed me on my forehead and said, son, enjoy your coat. I saw her get off of that train. That train started up toward Salisbury. I said, thank God for a home and a sacrificial love. You say, preacher, means the family settle. We need a sanctified love, a sacrificing love. And then we need a secure love. We need a love, beloved, that'll make us happy and secure. Many homes are not secure. There's that fear in the home. What a sad thing that is. But let's come to the last thing quickly. And this is the thing I want to just kind of dwell on. Not only do you see family treasures, but there's a third thing, a fourth thing, the future of the home. Somebody said, preacher, what do you mean? I want to ask you, do you know who holds tomorrow? Are you sure about your home next week? My friend, that's the future of your home. That's the future of my home. Now let's look at it. First of all, we need to look at it. Why should we have a Christian home? When we think about, listen to me, when we think about the real joy of this life, every home in this house ought to be Christian. It ought to be well with the dad. It ought to be well with the mother. It ought to be well with the son and the daughter to be happy. Let me give you an illustration of a happiness. One of the happiest homes I ever spent the night in. Several years ago, I lived in Columbia, South Carolina. 38 years ago, to be exact, when this happened. I was a-preaching one night. After I got through preaching, a one-armed man came up and he said, hey, preacher. I said, how you doing, brother? He said, Brother Mays, I have 7 little children. And said, I'm a farmer. We haven't had a crop in 4 years. And said, my kids love you. Would you come and spend the night with us sometime? Said, we don't have a fine home, but said, you're welcome, Brother Mays. Because Jesus lives in our house. I told him, I said, 2 weeks from Friday night, I'll come and spend the night with you. And he told me, said, you come out of Columbia to Gaston, turn right. And said, there's a lot of big old gullies, but said, you can get that pretty little green car of yours in. I said, okay. Boy, that Friday came, I put on the best clothes I had. I shined up that little green car. They called it the Green Hornet. I got it all fixed up. And I drove down to Gaston, South Carolina, and turned to the right. I went over those bumps, and I thought, my, these are the awfulest I believe I've ever seen. And when I saw the little house, the roof was about to fall in. The windows were pasted up with paper. The little old front porch is about to fall off. One armed man was standing up there waving that hand and welcoming me there. I drove that little green Plymouth around to the front. When I did, the kids came out, jumped off the porch and said, whew, that sure is pretty, Brother Mays. I said, thank you. little baby boy said to me, said, "Where'd you get it?" I said, "Jesus gave it to me." He said, "I hope he gives me one." That's all I got to say. I tell you, I went inside that home. They had crates. They didn't have furniture. They had crates. And they said, "You sit down right over there." We fixed you a chair out of that crate. Wasn't long till Miss Johnson said, "Supper!" And when she said supper, I went in. They didn't have one of these nice dinettes. They didn't have all the chrome and all the fancy stuff. But they had one of them old big long tables. And two big long benches on each side. And did you know those little kids started sliding in? And the first little one said, "Here I come," and slid in. The next one said, "Here I come," and he slid in. And the next one said, "Here I come," and he slid in. You know what I did? I said, "Here I come, praise God." And I slid in. And when I got in and the family got around the table, Brother Johnson took that one arm, raised it toward heaven, said, "Brother Mays, we'll give you the best we have." He said, "I want you to know we're happy. Our family's happy." I looked into 7 or 8 of the sweetest kids' faces I've ever seen. I looked over at Miss Johnson. She didn't have fine clothes. I looked at Mr. Johnson. I looked at that house that was very primitive and old. He said, "We all say the blessing around here." Brother, I mean, I got along good till he got to that little old baby. He said, "Dear Jesus, I want to thank you for my home." Boy, you talk about things picking up. Heaven came down. And I couldn't hardly see to eat the beans and the cornbread they had on the table. Somebody said, "That all they had?" That's all they had. And I wanted the onion so bad I couldn't stand it, but I never asked for it. Say amen. Mother always told me, said, "Don't you ask for something that's not on the table." You know what? After we got through, the church had given them a little folding organ. And we went into the, they didn't have anything but crates that fixed for chairs. And that oldest girl sat down and started playing that organ. And I'll tell you, when she started playing, the family got to singing, "I Got a Mansion Over the Hilltop." They got to singing, "Oh, Tell Me About My Home Over There." I want to tell you, it was the finest, happiest little home. I said, praise God. Jesus makes the difference in the home. I got ready to go to bed. They had an old cot, an old army cot in that room for me. I'll tell you, I slept in the best motels around the world. That night, while I was sleeping, angels fed me all night long. I could hear voices from another world. I was in a place where God had blessed that home with happiness. The next morning we went in, and she had cathead biscuits. You know what they are. Now you buy them in a can. And but she had them great big cat heads. And after we all prayed, we sopped up that gravy. Somebody said, "That's poor English, but it's good sopping, honey." Amen! I want to tell you, you talk about good sopping, it was good sopping. And when we finished, they said, "We want to sing for you. God be with you till we meet again." Boy, I want to tell you, those little kids stood to attention. They went and got their Bibles and said, "Daddy, we want Brother Mays to sign our Bibles." I tell you, as I looked at those sweet little children, happiness written all over them. After we sang and after we prayed and after I signed their Bibles, I went out and got that little green Plymouth and started down the road. I looked back and they were all standing there. Old Brother Johnson with that one arm with a handkerchief waving and the kids all waving. I got down the road and tears came down my cheeks. And I had to stop the car after a mile or so. I said, "Lord, I just want to thank you for happiness. Thank you for a home. It pays to serve Jesus now." You talk about the future of your home in this life. It'd pay you to serve God in your family. It'd pay you to serve God in your home. Secondly, it'll pay you not only in this life, but it'll pay you in death. There'll come a day when Brother Ken, I couldn't run like Kenneth. He runs to death. Man, he's going to have 40 breakdowns if he ever does have one. They'll come all at one time. He's up in the morning, he's going here and going there. But you know what? When a death comes to this church, I'm sure that Brother Kenneth will give you all the sympathy, all the prayers, all the kindness he can offers the man of God. But I want to tell you, when Kenneth's gone as far as he can go, and your family's gone as far as they can go, it'd pay you to know the one that said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he's dead, yet shall he live again. Thank God for the blessings at death. When death comes and takes a rose out of your home, a precious little girl, a precious little boy, when death comes and takes that companion away, when death comes and takes that precious mother, that precious daddy. I remember in the funeral home up at Hendersonville. I remember just like it was yesterday. I was standing there with the family at 10 o'clock, and they said, Mr. Jackson, well, you receive the friends. You'll have to leave. And I said to the undertaker, for I know him well, graduated from high school with him. I said, listen, I said, I want to tell you something. I want to stay in here after everybody leaves just a minute. He said, all right. He said, I'd like to stay and watch you. I said, all right. And when everybody's gone, my wife and my sons and my brother and everybody's out, all the friends that came that night. I walked over to that casket. I looked in there at my mother and I said, I want to sing you a little song. Brother, I can't sing, but that night I tried. I started singing, I'll meet you in the morning by the bright river side, and we'll sit down by the river. I said, what a blessing that is to know that we can have faith in the time of death. Then I reached over and took that cold hand. That hand that used to clean my clothes. That hand that used to cook for me. That hand that would get down on her knees and she'd pray for me. I took that little hand. It was cold and icy. And I said, Mother, I want to whisper something to you. I love you. I told you before you left out, I love you. Mother, I want you to know that I've got peace as I stand here by your coffin, because I have faith in the resurrection and the life. Praise the Lord. Somebody said, why? The future of the home, it'd pay you in this life. It'd pay you at death. And then it'll pay you in eternity. Thank God there's a family circle gathering over yonder. It's broken tonight, but I'm going to get in that circle one of these days when I preach my last sermon, when I pray my last prayer. I'm going over yonder to that family circle where there's no sin, where there's no sorrow, where there's no separation. I'm going to that circle. Boy, that's going to be a time. Somebody said, do you believe that? I believe it with all of my heart. We're going to leave out that. And thank God for the family circle. I heard this, and I wanted to see his grave. I never go back to graves. I passed by my mother and dad's grave over to Fletcher out of Hendersonville the other day. And as I passed by, I just saluted and kept on going. I said, I'll see y'all in the rapture. Praise God, when that trumpet sounds, I'll see you in the rapture. But years ago, there's a man, young lawyer, and he was the youngest of 11 children, and all 11 were living. And he was 31 years old, and they called him and said, Sam, your daddy's dying. And he got over there as quick as he could, and there's 10 other children, that's 11 in all. And they gathered around old Sam Jones' daddy's bedside. He's one of them old shouting saints. He's one of those that believe there's a better country and a better home. And as they stood by his bed, the doctor said, you better talk to him. Say what you will. Sam Jones said to the first daughter, said, sis, go over there and tell daddy. Bye. She went over there. That daddy said, honey, I remember when you got saved. I remember you've lived for Jesus all these years. And baby, you're my baby daughter. I'll see you in the morning. I'll see you in the morning. He called 9 other children and told them the same thing. I'll see you in the morning. And then he looked over at Sam, and Sam was a young lawyer, a drunkard. Sam never went to church. That old daddy beckoned him and said, come over here, son. And Sam walked over and he said, Sam, I've had to pay you out of jail when you was a teenager. Sam, you've broken my heart over and over again. But I want you to know Jesus loves you. And Sam, I'm leaving out today or tomorrow. Sam, I want to say something to you. And he looked down. Sam did and said, what do you want to say to me, Daddy? He said, goodbye. Sam, I'll not be seeing you anymore. Bye, Sam. And when he said bye, Sam said, but Papa, you said to the other children, good night. I'll see you in the morning. And you said bye to me. That old man, Jones, looked up and said, son, you're exactly right. I'll not see you in that land that's fair than day. Son, you're lost. You've broken my heart. You've broken God's heart. But 2 weeks after that funeral, Sam Jones went out, knelt down over his daddy's grave, got saved. And when he got saved, he looked up and said, Jesus, tell Daddy good night. I'll see him in the morning. Thank God. You say, preacher, there is the family circle. I'm glad that it pays to serve Jesus now. It'll pay you in death to have a Christian home. It'll pay you outside in the ages to come, where we'll be together, never to be separated, never to be sick, never to have any sorrow. I ask you tonight, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? Can you say like that Shumanite woman, it is well. It is well. Every head bowed, her eye closed over the house. It is well. It is well. Praise God. It's well. I'm glad it's well with my soul. The family circle. Will the family be together? The family circle. I want to ask you, will you be in that meeting in there? I'm glad Brother Kenneth had family night tonight. I'm glad that I could come and speak to you about that family circle. But Mother, is it well with you? Dad, is it well with you? Son and daughter, is it well with you? Can you say, preacher, thank God it's well with my soul? I want you to listen. Oh, listen.